So I want us to look this morning at Luke chapter 9 and verses 18 through to 26. And I want us to do so under the title of How Will You Respond to Jesus' Return? How will you respond to Jesus' return? So the return of Jesus Christ is mapped out in Scripture fairly clearly. It will be surprising. We understand that many will be taken by surprise when the Lord Jesus returns. It will be unmissable. There's none of this nonsense that people have say come up to you and say Jesus has already returned. He just returned secretly. The Bible clearly makes it plain that Jesus will return and every eye will see him. And it even says that every knee will bow. But the understanding is that it's unmissable. It's an event that cannot take place secretly. For some, it will be terrifying. And for some, it will be joyful. No one knows the day or the hour. No one even knows the season in which this will happen. Jesus is very plain about that. We all have all sorts of surmisings that take place. Christians love to try and pinpoint it and have done down through the years. But the reality is, even Jesus said, the Father alone knows. He says that it's his business. And so the reality is we will be taken by surprise when it happens. So the Bible warns us that we must be ready as though he were coming back today. So this afternoon, I don't know what your plans are, but Jesus might well return. Will you be ready for him? But then the Bible also paints the picture that actually Jesus' return might be delayed. It might take some time longer. And so if he doesn't return imminently, if he doesn't return immediately, are you living in such a way as that should he tarry longer, that even then that you will be prepared, that you will not run out? The parable is of the wise and the foolish virgins who did not get ready for the bridegroom's return. Well, five of them were ready. Five of them were taken completely by surprise and were not concerned with the things of the bridegroom. And so those are the challenges that Scripture throws at us. So how then should we be ready? How should we be ready for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? What should we do to be prepared? Well, in truth, it's all tied up with understanding who Jesus is. If we understand who he is, we will be ready whether the time is long or short. If we understand who Jesus is, we will be ready whether the time is long or short. So my first question for you this morning then is this. Have you understood who Jesus is yet? Verses 18 to 20, that's the question really that Jesus is asking his disciples. Jesus asked the question, he says, who do the crowds say that I am? And he gets various responses. He gets various responses, all of which fall short of the mark. There is an understanding that Jesus might be a prophet. There is even an understanding that he might be a prophet of the past return. So something even more spectacular than just an ordinary prophet, something a little bit more impressive than that. But still, all of those answers fall short. And in general, that is the same response that we would get today, wasn't it? If we were to ask the world who Jesus was, many would suggest that he was either a prophet or that he was a good man, that his teachings seemed to be okay, but many will fall a long way short of who, in fact, Jesus is. What you really can't say is what Imran Khan, the president of Pakistan, said, that Jesus wasn't even a real person in history. Unfortunately, he got himself into a little bit of hot water this last little while saying such things. So Jesus did exist, he certainly did, we've got enough testimony for that. But the question is, who is he? And there might be some of you today here in this service in the world's camp. You might view Jesus as simply someone who was just a good man, someone who has good sound teachings that you can line up behind, that you can line up, you can say that, you know, what he says is quite good, and if I put it into practice in my life, you know, he's someone to follow in that sense. And that might be the way you turn up to church each week. You kind of got in your mind that Jesus is someone that you should follow, but he's little more than a good giver of advice. He's little more than someone who has something to say on all the subjects that we face in everyday life. And there are multiple reasons why that is a daft choice, not least because he claims to be God. And anyone who claims to be God, you either have to say, well, he is, or you have to say that he's completely nuts. And so to sit on the fence and say that he's a good man is really a daft place to sit, at the very least. But here is the point in the passage. Here is what Jesus is getting at. He is not just a good man or a prophet. He is the Christ. He is the anointed one sent by God. That's the issue here. Jesus is the Christ, God's anointed one, the chosen one who had come to rescue a people for himself. He had been promised long in the Old Testament scriptures. He had been promised, it had been promised that he would come. The one who would usher in God's kingdom, the one with whom God was well pleased. You remember when Jesus was baptized, at his baptism, God the Father speaks and declares, "This is my Son." And he tells the disciples to follow him. And then again on the Mount of Transfiguration, again the Father speaks and says, "This is my Son with whom I am well pleased. This is the one. Listen to him." It's really made plain for us in God's Word. And so I want to ask you the question. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, in human flesh? Because it is a serious question. And it demands a serious response. I want you to use your imagination. I'm going to get you to use your imagination a couple of times this morning, and I know that's a tall ask on a Sunday morning. You're winding from the week, but just imagine for a moment that you're throwing a dinner party. You're throwing a dinner party, and the Queen stops by. Okay? She makes no fuss at all. In she comes, she sits herself down, her protective detail is out of sight, and she simply looks like any other posh old lady. You have no idea who she is. And as the evening unfolds, you are actually discourteous towards her and make her wait for her food. You ignore her when she sees that she is wanting attention. You actually ridicule her behind her back, making fun of the way that she eats her food and all kinds of things like that. And yet you would be ashamed of treating anyone like that. But this is the Queen. The next day that you are invited to the Queen's garden party by virtue of the fact that you've been involved in some charitable work. And it's not until you are in the lineup and ready for the meet and greet that the penny drops. That posh old lady that came yesterday, that ate with you and you treated atrociously, is none other than the Queen that you're visiting with. I can guarantee you this. You would want to be anywhere else on the face of the planet than shaking the Queen's hand, wouldn't you? If you were to treat her in that way. Now, she's an earthly monarch and she does not have the power, as it were, to deal with us necessarily in the way that perhaps we deserved to be so, well, dreadful towards the one who rules our land. But imagine the embarrassment and the horror of standing before the eternal God, before the Lord Jesus Christ at his throne at his return, having never grasped who he is. Let me suggest to you, you'd want more than just to be somewhere else. The Bible puts it in terms of if you find yourself in that situation, you would hope that the ground would open up and swallow you. The one that you've treated with contempt, the one that you have used his name in ways that you shouldn't, the one that you have laughed at his expense and denied him the proper service that the Lord of all glory deserves. And it will be too late to correct it then. So So let me ask you again this morning. Do you know who Jesus Christ is? Have you understood that he is the Son of God in human flesh? Have you understood that he deserves your allegiance? He deserves your service. Second question I want to ask you is, have you recognized what he has done for you? Verses 21 and 22, are Jesus making it plain what he has come to do? The elders and the chief priests and the teachers of the law all have dismissed Jesus and had him crucified, or are going to have him crucified. And consider the affront to God should you side with them at the return of Christ. Here are a group of people who have not recognized who Jesus is, who do not want him to be part of their lives, and they have nailed him to a cross. The Son of God, the Lord of all glory, nailed to a cross. Imagine the affront to God if you side with them on the day of Jesus' return. And here is the thing. God is so in control that he can even use our sin for his glory. The very rejection of Jesus meant that he suffered and died as an innocent man. He'd done nothing wrong. He was not, as it were, worthy of the death that he went to. He was innocent of all wrongdoing. Yet because of the sinful hearts of men, he had to go to the cross. And it's the death of an innocent on our behalf that makes peace with God possible. You remember the Christmas story, I'm sure, as we approach Christmas, and it seems to be coming earlier and earlier every year. As we approach Christmas, you remember the words that the angels said of the Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 2 and verse 14. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. Now I want you to understand that his favor only rests on those who have accepted that Jesus Christ has died in their place for their sin. And that favor gains an eternal relationship with God. It brings new life. It brings transformation. It brings joy and meaning and purpose. And the sacrifice was accepted by the Father and shown in raising Jesus from the dead. All that the Lord Jesus Christ did was good. And is good for you if you will but accept it. Imagine the scenario. You have wanted for a long time to see your favorite band play in London. But the tickets are expensive and you are broke. Your desire to see them is such that you decide to try to earn the money by doing extra jobs. And as you're working hard and scrabbling around to try to get the funds needed, it becomes clear that there is no way that you're able to buy the tickets. The day comes and the concert takes place, and you have missed out. Later, you take a phone call from a friend. He's been trying to reach you for the last 2 weeks. But on every occasion your phone has rung, you've been too busy. You've been preoccupied. Either busy working or busy thinking or just not wanting to receive the call. And in the call he asks you whether you used the free tickets that were available at the box office. He'd had a bonus. He knew that you wanted to see them. He'd bought you the tickets. He'd left you countless messages. As you come off the phone, as you fight back the tears because you were so keen to see them, you would kick yourself, wouldn't you? If only you had listened to your friend's message. If only you'd paid attention. Well, imagine the scenario. You are stood before Jesus Christ at his return, wanting to enter the world that he has prepared for his people. But Jesus turns to you, his heart filled with sadness. I purchased a ticket for you. I paid with my blood. But you would never accept it. You would not listen. You would not heed my call. How foolish we would have been, wouldn't we? How futile our lives to have lived to that point without God, to stand before him at his return. And to realize that we've missed everything. It's not a wonder, is it, that hell is described as a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. The whole world will one day wake up to who Jesus is, but at that point it'll be too late. It's not too late for you today. Recognize the Lord Jesus Christ. Recognize his work on the cross on your behalf. Repent of your sin and know peace with an eternal God. You need to understand that Jesus has brought you a free gift. But like so many offers in our world today, that it has an expiration date. The day that the Lord Jesus returns, or even, let me put it these ways, the day that you pass on from this life to the next, it is too late. Take the offer while it's still here, while you have the time. Third thing I want to ask is, has this had an impact on you? Verses 23 to 25. There are many in this world, and probably some of you here this morning, who will claim Jesus as their Savior. They will say, yes, I can see who he is. Yes, he's died for me. But Jesus says there is a reality to all those who have acknowledged what Jesus has done for them. And this reality is this, that their life will be changed. It is not sufficient to simply say you know who Jesus is. He must, and it must, that understanding of who Jesus is, must have changed your life. All such people who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior are willing to lay down their lives for others. I don't know what's going on up there, but anyway. So I want you to examine yourself this morning. If the watching world were to weigh up your life, who would they see is God in your life? Would it be Jesus as you copy him and do the things that he did? Or would it be yourself as you do the things that you want to do? Jesus here warns that the person who takes no seriousness in following Christ will one day find that he has lost his soul. Picture the scene before the returned Christ. I've used Henry because as far as I'm aware, there's no Henrys in the congregation. Henry cowers at the floor, too afraid to look up. Yet look up he must, because the all-powerful being there is addressing him. You professed to know me, boomed the voice that sounded like a mighty waterfall. But I do not know you. There was not one day when you put following me as more important than doing your own things. On Sunday, you used to use every and any excuse not to be with me or to be with my people. Football, family, the weather, even reruns of EastEnders were seen as more important than being with me. Monday to Saturday was no better. You did your job as though no one was watching. Or if you felt that they were watching, you did it in such a way as that it was all encompassing and there was no time for me. Your evenings were your own. Your priorities reigned. While thousands were crashing into hell, you were eating biscuits and slurping on a bottle of Moscato. You trusted in yourself and lived for yourself. You will reap the future that you have prepared for. I would hate that anybody ever finds themselves in that situation. So let me ask you again, do you know who the Lord Jesus Christ is? Do you understand what he has done for you? And has that had an impact upon your life? If you say, yes, I know the Lord Jesus Christ, then I want you to answer this question. What's the next step in obedience to him? Is it baptism? Maybe you've professed to know the Lord Jesus Christ and baptism is the next natural step in obedience. Then obey him. Maybe there's something in your life that you've been clinging on to that you know shouldn't be there. Then reject it. Or maybe this morning you still have not accepted Jesus as your Savior at all. Bow the knee and confess your sin and seek the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Because that's the reality of the last and final question is, are you ready? Verse 26. Here is the crux of it. When Jesus returns in power with all his angels and the mountains tremble and those who do not know him are crying out that the earth would swallow them, where will you be? Will you be running for cover? Or delighting in his return? What determines how you respond to Jesus on that day will not be your confidence. It will not be what you have done. It won't even be that you've said that Jesus is your Savior. It will be that there is evidence that Jesus has changed your heart and changed your life. And if you have owned Christ as Savior in Lord and Lord in this life, Christ will own you in the next. That's the promise of these words. But if you thought so little of Christ to hide away, ashamed of him, never willing to be known as his, don't be surprised if Jesus disowns you when it comes. Christ loves you. He gave his life for you. How is your relationship with him? Is it a reciprocal relationship? You've accepted what he has done and in gratitude poured out your life back for him. If it's not, then maybe you don't really know who he is or what he has done for you. But let me plead with you. Don't leave it too late. Because his return is imminent. Let's pray.